is who's the toughest motherfucker on the planet?
Oh, I love this one.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So I mean, so what we did was we managed to. I think that there was a bit of a. We've done enough with Iron Man to be a podcast on its own almost. Yeah. Even if it's only 45 minutes, I think it deserves its own conversation. Eh?
Yep.
Okay. All right. I heard a mystery sound, boys. Mystery sound from Matt. What was it?
Sound like a lathe.
Sorry.
It was me. Bloody... He was screwing a cap on something.
No. My bloody phone connected to the car and my earphones at the same time, and it just had an absolute fucking epileptic fit.
Ah, okay. No, I missed that mystery sound then. Boys, okay.
Never
round
that one.
One name. Right. The toughest of all time. The toughest of all time. The hardest, the toughest. You get one. Everyone gets one round.
Damn, I've got so many.
Yeah. But you get the second and the third too.
Okay. Well,
we'll just do round one. Round one. Cool. And then the dairy farmer will critique what we all say.
Excellent.
Okay, so the dairy farmer, your job is to tell the boys to get fucked or shoot them down, or they've got to come up with a compelling reason why this person they think is the toughest in the sport. And
I'm starting. Emma Carney.
Oh, fuck, it was just shut up. You're not meant to open your mouth yet.
You've got the rules wrong.
I just told you what the rules were. Well, you're going to shut up and you get to decide what the boys say. I'll ask you last. Okay? You got to get him, Joe. Tell him to shut up, Joe. Tell him to listen. That's his wife, by the way.
Get out of here. Come on. Oh, not your voice, sorry, my voice, sorry.
Shit, sure, I was getting told off there.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Sorry.
I missed that, Joe. Sorry, what was that, Joe? You there, Joe? Hello, Joe. Yes.
Sorry, I was telling the other two, Ben and Matthew, to fuck off. They're
having
a beer with their father.
Oh, they can hang out. They can hang out and listen to me part of the podcast, Joe. We don't mind.
They are
13
and 15.
That's awesome.
Okay. I do see your point. We don't have an adult advisory on our podcast, so that's acceptable, I guess.
We don't even have any adults on our podcast.
We don't have any listeners, so it really doesn't matter. Okay, right. I'm opening the batting with you, Bike Painter. This is number one. Numero uno must be the toughest pua in the sport that end.
Okay. Right, I'm coming right out of left field here, and I'm going to give you a name
that you
never would have heard of.
Yep.
I'm going to go with a lady called Alison Clark.
Okay, go
on. Oh, I do know
who. You know who I'm talking about, Rob.
I do know.
Go on.
Alison Clark, if you've ever done something in your life, and every time you've gone to do it, and I'm not taking the piss, because I admire this woman, all right? I am not taking the piss. I admire
her.
I do too. But if you've ever done anything in your life, and every time you've gone to do it, all signs point to you not doing it, or you shouldn't be doing it, or don't do it, this is that person. Ooh. Alison Clark is doing Ironman, or had signed up to do Ironman New Zealand.
Uh-oh.
And I've actually met her because she used to swim at the same pool as what I swam at before she moved down the line. So very nice lady, but single mum, low income, two teenage boys, moody as fuck, very little to no budget to do Ironman on. Every time... Now, on Facebook, just a little bit of backstory. On Facebook, there's a page called Training for Ironman New Zealand, and she posts on there a lot. And every single post is a battle. Every single post, this went wrong, that went wrong, and she's got a thyroid condition, and just everything is a battle. But she carries on. She troops on. She gets through the sessions. She does the bike, she does the swim, she has to go to work, she has to organize her boys, she has to get them to school, she has to try and make a living, she has to clean the house, she has to mow the lawns, she has to do it all by herself. And she battles on, but everything, like when you read her post, it's like everything is against her.
Mm. Yeah.
Literally, you go through that page and you have a look at all her posts and you're like, why are you doing this?
But she's tough. And she's tough.
She is by far my toughest triathlete out there.
Right. Okay. I tell you what I'm going to do here. I'm going to hold you. I'm going to park that because I'm gonna double down on that. So what we're now having, the first, I'm changing the rules. The rules are, this round is not about the elite, because that was kind of the fucking question in the first place there, Brookie. So I will, I will double down. I would say, Rob, you've got to find one in the space of the next 2 or 3 minutes that is in the same caliber, as Matt said, and I'm going to name one as well. Okay? How about this one? Do you know the name? His last name was McPherson. Bruce McPherson, 1993 Ironman. Does the name ring a bell?
Did it involve a boat shoe on a bike seat?
No. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. He does the fact that it was 1993, Bruce McPherson, and he did the whole of the old Auckland Ironman course with one arm.
I do remember. He had that custom Johnny Foster bike.
Yep, that's right.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Oh my God, that is
so
awesome.
So just to back up, he's a lovely guy. He was a farmhand from Cleveland. I'm going to pick him up one time to take him into a function. And unfucking believable, right? So here's the thing. You go try and swim 3.8 kilometers in Auckland Harbour with one arm. That's your opener, right? Now, this is in 1993, before there were, you know, super tricky prosthetics that you can put on and that sort of shit. Nah, fuck that. He did it with one arm, right? So one arm missing, one arm working, okay? That's it. How do you drink? How do you eat food? Boys, how do you do it?
Yeah, I remember watching. He had a drink system, didn't he?
He didn't. He stopped. He stopped.
Did he?
He stopped. He had to stop his bike, get off, and drink. You try going down Snake fucking Hill with one arm on your handlebars.
Speed wobbles, man.
Oh, my God.
Do you know what I fucking mean?
He had double X-rated brakes, didn't he? So his brake lever worked front and rear, didn't it?
I don't know about that, but this is the thing. Yeah. You know, this for me blew my fucking mind. He wasn't last to finish. There were four finishes after him. And of course, once he got off the bike, he was sweet, right? So for him, it was about getting back to St. Heliers by 5:15 p.m. And then kaboom, you don't need your arm to run. God, listen to me. I'm going to get Joe Rogan for that comment, I guess. But please don't Joe Rogan me. Please don't Joe Rogan me. We can't afford to lose any more subscribers. He did the Ironman with one arm. He is my equivalent of the emotive winner that I'm not talking about in this podcast.
Yeah.
Rob, what do you got?
Yeah. Okay, here's a question, though. And I heard this one on the on a rival podcast, Social Distance podcast. How do you handcuff a one-armed man?
Oh, good question. I don't know.
Do you go to his ankle? Do you like handcuff?
That's great. Yeah, good. Now we really are going to get Joe Rogan. Okay. Yeah. Let's crack jokes about the disabled. Let's fucking that'll get us cancelled.
I do remember watching him, and to be honest, and I was an author guy. So my one.
Yes.
So we're talking age group here.
Yeah.
Coming right off a long run up on this one. Pardon the pun. So my friend Joe Bowden, E. Carroll, went to Ironman Kona. We know her as Big Joe. She's about 4 foot tall. And
so this isn't there's two Joe. This isn't Dave's wife. No.
This is Dave's sister-in-law.
Okay, got it.
She got a stress fracture going into Kona, did the race, and got 7 km from the finish line and had a pathological fracture, which is not a good thing, and had to pull out 7 km from the finish line, was literally dragging her leg along the ground.
Oh, my God.
Just to get the finish line. Didn't make it. And that in itself is tough enough, but she went back a few years later and did it. And I think anybody who can take themselves to that depth of pain to get that close and not, you know, it will be the most miserable thing to go through and then go, I'm going to go back and do it again. That takes a tough individual. And I honestly, knowing what that pain would have been and midway through that run and then to make that decision, so close to the finish line of I'm not going to finish this thing, takes a pretty tough person.
That sounds tough. So, Uber, you've heard three stories. Which one do you like?
All three.
Oh, listen to you.
Good on you.
Oh, listen to you.
Good on you.
Oh, my God.
Jesus. We've got Jacinda on the line.
I have to go for you.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive, man.
It just
struck me. And of course, when I put this, I tell you what was popular. I put the posting on my. What was that? What was that noise? Bike painter.
I was shutting the curtains because I've got to take my pants off.
You live in one kick a fucking moo cow.
I mean, there's no one there.
There's no one there.
No. That's true. Yeah, it's true.
One arm freestyle at St. Helier's Bay is pretty hard.
Yeah. And it was pre-DI2, pre-disc brakes, pre-everything that made it easy. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. He might have had a jet stream, one of the rudimentary jet streams that were out. He may have had something like that. But he basically told me he just stopped, got off and stopped. It was just he took a common sense approach to it, right? And Bowden mentioned on the thing, he's dead right. If I was to look at the emotional toughest person of all the stories I've heard, it would have to be Dick Hoyt. Rob, you want to just tell the listeners that I'm probably a bit too young who Dick Hoyt was?
So Rick,
incredible story, man. Dick. Fuck me, incredible.
So my God. Remind me. One of them has died. Was it Rick or Dick?
I think they both died now. No, I think they're both died.
The old man died.
Yeah. Oh, he did, that's right. His son, remind me, had cerebral palsy.
Severely disabled, mate. Yeah.
He would push his kid in a pram through these events. And he was quick. Like they ran under 250 marathons.
He was towing them on a like an inflatable, wasn't he?
Oh, no, that was an Ironman, but they did like
Boston marathons. They did marathons as well, yeah.
They did some quick times, quick marathons. Oh, but in the Ironman in Kona, he towed him on a dinghy, rode him on a, put him on like a cargo bike, had him sitting on the front seat, and then pushed him in his pram. And,
so let's be clear about this. He towed around for 3.8 kilometres about 70 kegs in the swim.
Yeah.
Now, that's pretty reasonable, okay? Yeah. And then you try riding with 70 kegs, right?
Yeah.
And then you push 70 kegs.
And he had to stop and feed him regularly because he couldn't feed himself. So, in that heat, you'd have to be fueling yourself and the young fella.
Wow.
Yep. That was impressive, eh? That was an amazing
So I'm going to give the round win to Dave Bowden for saying his name because I'd forgotten about him.
Okay.
Bowden, I think Bowden called that one. Okay. But I'd put one arm freestyler in the Auckland Harbour up there as well, just quietly. All right. Okay. Good. So this is the real round now. We've had we've all had the cuddle round. That was cuddly. Very nice. It was lovely.
This is the real.
We are an inclusive podcast. Okay. But now the shit just got fucking real. Rob, the toughest of all time is who?
Hard and smart. and the scariest.
Well, the maddest. Can we go with the maddest? I didn't include maddest. Okay, Harlan Smart. Okay, and I think he only did his head started to implode after the very first race. Yep. I don't think he had a second year in him, did he?
No. Well, he did some amazing. I mean, anyone who can do an Ironman without a shirt. It's right up here. It's right up here with one of the toughest I've ever seen.
Right.
Anyone who swears midway through a 30-minute 10K and is still able to verbalise a swear word is a tough man.
He could run, eh? Harlan could run. Yeah.
I remember watching him Harlan do a duathlon coming down Bastion Point, down those steps, he must have been taking 5 or 6 steps down at a time.
Yeah,
like it was just absolute lunacy, and he was such a strong cyclist.
Oh, so I just want to say, bike painter, Rob has left it open because it was round one pick. Fuck me! I mean, I couldn't spell it out any clearer. I wanted the hardest, and he misinterpreted the word hard for the fucking mentalist, maddest triathlete. This is another good. We'll do that round later of the mentalist, maddest triathlete you've ever known.
Harlan my Smart second one will blow
you, mate. Harlan my Smart is Hall of fucking fame. Harlan Smart is Hall of fame mad.
My second one will blow you away.
Okay, so bike painter, Okay, so yeah. Rob, my bike painter, who is your toughest Ironman pro of all time?
Dave Scott.
Go ahead. Yeah. You got to give us a reason why.
Wow. Dave Scott came out of some sort of semi-retirement, 40 years old.
Oh, yeah, good absolutely, point. Now, that's a good argument just, he did.
Yeah, yeah.
And he went sub-9 when he did it? That was the goal? Yeah. Sub-
oh, no, it was low eights.
It was sick.
Where did he finish, second?
Yeah, 94.
He was second. Greg Welch was first. Greg Welch was first. Dave Scott was second at 40 years old, doing like eight. He went like eight. I want to say like 8:10, 8:11 or something. That was.
Wow. But he came back. He came back a few years later.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Right.
Yeah. He raced Kona again. Probably about. I'm going to say like 10 years ago now.
Yep. Okay. Well, I'm going to name mine.
Yeah.
Emma Carney.
Yeah.
Only because one, she was tough in the space of just tough, ruthless competitor. But guess what, man? Today or yesterday, she's so fucking tough in the real world, she got the scalp of the CEO of Triathlon Australia. Mm. What's his name?
Miles Stewart.
Yeah. Yeah. She got him. She went up for him and she got him. I mean, that is fucking tough, man.
She's still up for the others as well, though.
It's not over. It's not over. She says, I've got Stuart's head in my handbag at the moment. Who's next?
Yeah.
Do you want to do this quietly? Should we do this easily? Or do you want me to make it hard for you? I don't know if she comes across that way. That's how she comes across. Am I being unreasonable?
It was interesting because I saw a lot of people comment on the post from Triathlon Australia say announced his retirement, like Crowley and those guys were high support of Miles Stewart. So, you know, some pretty high level athletes are still.
But you know, Mecca doesn't like him though, eh?
Yeah, I think that goes back a long way. But Mecca doesn't like Crowley either. So
they're right.
Yeah.
What did in a podcast, I think, and I'm stealing off you, Uber, Mecca called Miles Stewart a coward. Is that right? Uber?
That's correct. I was thinking that it was back in the 2000 Olympics. Mackie didn't get picked.
Yeah.
And he was ranked, might have been first or second in the world.
He should have gone. He was their top pick.
But there was they had a crazy system there, eh? Like Miles Stewart had won it. He did win world champs in about 1991. If you're an ex-world champion, you could go. You were first picked. And so Miles Stewart took a dive. He basically started the race and pulled out. But he had a past history was so good. So they selected him, you know?
Yeah. That's the Miles Stewart story.
And yes, that's correct. And I'm pretty sure, even Mackett called him out and said, "You're a coward," to his face.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, fucking hell.
That's pretty funny.
That is pretty funny. Yeah. And then Emma Carney finishes him off. Because something's not right there, eh? It sounds like that Emma's onto something, to be fair to her.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That there's definitely something rotten, almost cycling New Zealand rotten.
Yeah.
I meant that when I said that too. I don't give a fuck what they think.
Yeah. Right?
There is something genuinely rotten over there.
Yeah.
It makes Triathlon New Zealand look like angels at the moment, just quietly, you know, compared to what's going on over there. So that's why Emma Carney gets my pick, because she's hard as nails as a racer and hard as nails in life.
I liked at the World Champs in Wellington 1994 when she turned up and she won that race, and she'd only been racing as an elite for a year. And the year before, her father said, "You're going to be world champion in the year's time. And she turned up to Wellington and she won it. And her sister won the under 23 race.
That's right.
And from that day on, Emma Carney was unbeatable for a long, long time. And it wasn't just on the run. She was a lightning strong bike rider.
Okay. So Rob, you get redemption. I'm going to say that you had a quick bout of insanity. When you named Harlan Smart as your hardest, toughest guy of all time. I see your point, but I'm going to decline it and ask that you have a fucking crack at giving me a name. At least we got Dave Scott. So it's Dave Scott, round one is Dave Scott versus Emma Carney versus whom? Rob?
Okay, I'm keeping this one local, and I think Uber's going to like this one. And you, and Matt, you'll like this one as well.
Sure.
Because I'm still genuinely scared of this guy because he is such a tough dude, is Mark Little.
Oh, for fuck's sake!
The butcher. The butcher. For fuck's sake. Come on. Come Jesus. On.
Oh, my God. I really thought we had a good podcast idea here. This is killing me. Why? Oh, Christ. You name Little?
Yes. He was the toughest bastard out there, and he was a butcher. You don't mess with a butcher.
Fuck.
For a second there, I thought you were going to say Matt Brook. Just for a split second, Jesus. I thought you were going to say Matt Brook.
Christ. Are you sniffing glue, Rob? Are you fucking sniffing glue?
Oh, wait till Mark hears this podcast.
Oh, fucking. Yeah, good luck there.
He was a tough man.
He is one of my current beer drinking brothers.
Yeah.
And you're right. I understand where you're coming from of the no compromise, no backward step sportsman. But he isn't
a lot of respect
fucking, he isn't fucking Emma fucking Carney. Right, Rob. So you fell off your chair, Rob.
I'm on the bench.
You fell off your chair. You knocked your head on the fucking bench. Okay. Your missus wrapped your head up. Now give me a fucking answer.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, here we go.
Boring. Me. Alistair Brownlee.
Okay, good. Thank you. Yes, Alistair Brownlee, go. Yeah, fair enough.
Boring. Like what? No. Who likes him anyway? He's not that cool. He's not that tough.
Hang on. Wait on, sorry. So you just named your first pick as Alistair fucking Brownlee, and then you said, oh, no, he's not that tough.
No, he is actually. I think he would be a pretty mean competitor. I think he's pretty unrelenting, eh? Yeah.
He's the Brownlee that gets in the bunch and tells the boys what to do, eh?
Yeah, he's like a little snappy little.
He's the daddy, eh?
Little angry little bugger. Mm.
When when Alistair Brownlee was racing, was he the daddy?
Well, I think him or Doherty, but butt heads a fair bit.
I bet, eh? I bet they would. Mm. Okay. So this is round one. Uber's going to decide out of the three who he thought is talking shit and who he thought has named the toughest guy. Okay. You got to stick with that. So your choices were Harlan Smart, Mark Little, or
Alistair Brownlee.
Okay. Yeah. Dave Scott versus Emma Carney. Uber, what are your thoughts on our picks? Uber, you still there?
Why couldn't you say Kieran Brown or Bevan Doherty?
answer the dairy farmer's question, Rob.
Why?
Yeah, as you're saying, Alistair Brownlee is tougher than Cameron Brown and Bevan Doherty.
Well, yes.
I mean, this is a made up
argument. No, this is a tough one. Brownlee's going to be listening to this, and I'll get a text from him tomorrow.
Yeah. The dairy farmer just shot you to fucking pieces, Rob, and you're the fucking talent on this podcast.
I've got to dodge his bullet. I've got to dodge his bullet.
Jesus, you got to get a written warning if you keep this up in terms of the talent.
Matt and I can't say Bevan because we've both beaten him at least once.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, totally.
And I did recently take a Strava segment that Brownlee had, but that's now since gone as well. And I was drafting off a car at the time. So. I still think Alistair is a mean, tough competitor. Right. I think Alistair goes as hard as he can from the gun in the swim, goes as hard as he can at the start of the bike, and goes as hard as he can at the start of the run to try and break everybody. Whereas Brownlee's different. Yeah. Brownlee's calculating. Brownlee will come at you from behind. Yeah. Alistair's just going to go off the front, and good luck if you keep up with him.
Uber, is Rob talking shit?
Well, are you deciding it on talent or are you deciding it on just your toughness?
Personality, toughness.
Okay, on toughness, what do you think? Yeah. Brownlee won't win a toughness competition, right?
Well, he's not that, he's not that kind
of, would he? Yeah, well, hang on. No, stop the fucking bus.
He doesn't pull out for a reason.
Mm.
Look at the training he can do. 50 years old. Mm. What can he do?
He's broken many young athletes.
Yes.
Oh, fuck you.
In my opinion, Kieran Brown's way stronger, way tougher, in my opinion, because I think that Alistair Brownlee, I mean, don't get me wrong, he's certainly not weak, but he is just, my God, he's huge talent, you know?
Yeah.
Huge motor, can run 28:40 for 10K. Mm. Is that what he's running, you know? Mm.
So are you saying that, okay.
We've got a side, yeah. Kevin Brown, I mean, shit, you know, far out.
So to be fair, I think the argument for Brownie, for just the you think about how many people he crushes, apart from maybe four or five people at every race.
Yeah,
he crushes everyone, and no one in the world is crushing people at 50.
I still remember that race against Luke Bell the day after he'd been puking his guts out, and he still just went with 8K to go, and Bell couldn't match him. And I think, man, that's one tough dude, eh?
I think that is the reason why I'm remiss and not thinking of Brownie as tough, is because he's just so fucking poker faced. You know, whenever he competes, it's like you're watching the same. It's like Brownie at Ironman. I swear to God, it's like Groundhog Day.
Yeah, you don't know if he's tired or not.
You just don't know. You just you can't. You don't know what you could almost say. You don't know what year it is. You don't know, you know what I mean? It's just the same metronomic, knocking out these phenomenal. He was running faster than any New Zealander for how many years? Maybe 10 straight.
Yeah.
Would that be a fair call? Yeah. When did people start running faster than Cameron Brown in New Zealand by a New Zealander? Uber?
Probably Mike Phillips.
Well, he's probably right there. Probably only last 2 or 3 years.
Mm. What about, could Terenzo run faster than Cameron?
No. That was why Terenzo's race never went to plan, because he always tried to break him on the bike because he knew he couldn't run faster.
What about Bevan? Did Bevan run faster than Cameron?
I don't think when he broke the course record, I don't think he ran the run record. I think Cameron still had it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Has it only been in the last 2 or 3 years with all these new developments that have been changed, you know, with the bike developments that are seeing people getting off the bike faster condition, that I still think has an impact on how quickly people are running now? It's because they're not riding for as long. Do you think that's a reasonable guess, summation? Anyone? Feel fucking free.
I think it's... I think the thing with Brownie is he's going as fast now.
I'm cutting over the top of you, Rob. Hey, just remind me again, your boy fucking Brownlee, how's he gone at the long distance shit?
Oh, he's terrible. I'm not saying that. He's, that's a good point.
He's the toughest mofo on the planet, man, but he can't can't go for longer than can he even go half distance without popping. How did he?
Hang on,
I'm not finished. I'm on fucking fire
second.
Now. I'm
he
on
came
roll.
Second at 73.
Hey, so remember Challenge Daytona? Was he the one doing the fake pulling the hammy thing on the side of the track on the run? Was it? I'm being
Rob,
pretty hard.
I just concede now, Rob. Just concede.
I don't know you so much.
Oh, fuck, I'm surprised actually that just fell into my lap. I don't know where that came. I recall watching that Challenge Daytona, thinking how awesome. That was before I knew who Gustav Eden was, right? I just thought, oh my God, Brownie's just going to fucking destroy them. And the pace was so hot that all of a sudden you see him with an injury and stretching. Well, I know an athlete that's fucking popped. He popped. I'm going to call it, he popped. So I'm sorry, Rob. Yeah,
no, that's fair. No,
yeah. So this is it. So I can't really pick on Dave Scott because I just don't know. I don't know enough about it.
Here's the thing about Dave Scott. Like, yeah, he's awesome, but he didn't finish his first. He's raced New Zealand Ironman once. He didn't finish it.
There you go.
He led out of the water. Didn't get off the bike.
There you go. You could also argue Emma Carney didn't go long. Oh, she raced with a broken ticket.
Yeah, her heart fell apart.
That's right. She had a broken ticket. I think she thought, fuck it, I'll still race or something, didn't she?
Yeah.
Okay, that's brave shit, man. Okay.
I think that's true.
So round one goes to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nah, well, you could say, yeah. No, I'll take Emma Carney, only because she got Miles Stewart's head from the chief executive. That's the only reason why. They
got her over I love how the round was, the criteria was, who's your toughest elite Ironman competitor? And the winner was someone that's never done an Ironman. and I literally, out of the three, I chose the toughest Ironman competitor. And I still didn't win.
All right, okay, I concede. Okay, Uber, break the tie. Emma Carney versus Dave Scott. Who's toughest?
Well, Matt's right. You know, we've got a stricter. She never did Ironman. So yeah, we've got to pick that. Yeah, we have to pick Dave Scott, don't we?
True. I agree. No, I can see Matt, your argument. Boom. I mean, fuck, if that's the case now that we know what the criteria really is.
Yeah, now we're going
to
get real.
Yeah, now let's get
well,
real.
Well, you set the criteria, Hooksy.
Oh, fuck, I don't know.
You not know what it was.
Fucking Jesus. True story there. Fuck me. All
right. If Emma Carney did Ironman, God knows how far she would have gone.
Emma Snowsall, who was the better Ironman potential?
Emma Carney, hands down.
Interesting.
You don't think that, Rob? Yeah.
Well, Brett Sutton had often said that Emma Snowsall was potentially the best Ironman athlete.
Oh, didn't know that.
Yeah.
So
I think that Emma Snowsall was more talented. Emma Carney was tougher.
Yeah.
She could ride a bike and she could run.
Yeah.
Emma Carney just came across as grit. Pure grit. Yeah. You know, just pure grit. Okay, boys, round two. Okay, so I guess we're kind of – okay. This round is non-Ironman competitors. Go, Rob.
No, me first.
I went first this time.
I haven't given this one 2 seconds thought.
Is it still triathlon?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, what do you fucking think?
Well, you could be running. Could be talking about running.
I don't know. Are we going to start naming rugby players next?
Don't know any.
Okay, we'll go.
The name of the podcast is New Zealand Triathlete. Jesus Christ.
So I tell you what. Can we go back to that one? Because I don't want to go first either. I'd like a little bit of time. That's a tough question, that one, eh? Who's the toughest non-Ironman? So let's go back to who's the toughest Ironman. Okay. And would you like, boys, like to have another crack at it? Mm-mm. Rob? Rob, you're up again, I think.
Yeah, I want to have a crack at this one.
Yeah.
Because I think anybody who has the balls to sit up and wait for the second place to catch up to them and then run away from them has to be pretty bloody tough. And that was Macca when he let Rowlett catch him with about 4K to go, shook his hand and then ran away. Like, you're putting a lot on the line for that, and that's pretty tough to be able to say, I'm going to do this.
So you're saying the world's fastest Māori?
Yeah, is the toughest. I reckon he's the toughest Ironman.
Okay.
How many times did he go to Kona, fall apart, and still come up and say, I'm still going to win this race?
Yeah.
And won it. Yeah. Mm,
okay.
Mm. Yeah.
Bike painter, over to you.
I'm going to go with Hal Regal.
Oh, good call.
Why?
Good call. Yeah, why?
Just for the sheer volume of not just the fact that he was, you know, winning one particular race, but he actually won a lot of races. And boy, that boy could bike.
He was good.
It was something else.
He was that guy was so strong. Like, he was a monster on the bike.
Hell on wheels.
It was just
Uber,
unreal. I'm going to go with Hal Regal.
I also heard a rumor that he shagged just about every single woman in Taupo. Is that true?
You know, I've heard.
Oh, good on him.
Yeah, I've actually heard that as well.
Okay. I'm going to go. My pick for toughest Ironman.
Don't say Cameron Brown either.
Oh, say Cameron Brown. I'm going to say Aaron Baker. Aaron Baker. I was not around for the early years when she was in winning Nice and things like that. I was in the sport then, but I was around when she came to Ironman, I think in 94, maybe even 90, no, not 93, maybe 94. Who won Ironman? What was first woman pop quiz? First woman home in 93 was who?
Ewan Baker.
Elizabeth Christensen. No, what was
it? No. Was it Ewan Baker? Was it?
Yeah, it was Baker. Yeah, I think Ewan it was Baker. Baker.
Who was first woman home in 94?
Probably Baker.
I think so. And I think in 94, I think she raced 6 months pregnant. Yeah. 6 months pregnant. So apart from that, just seeing it, she just gave out that Emma Carney aura.
No, you're wrong, Hooksy.
Oh,
you're wrong. Fuck, was it Sue Clark?
Sue Clark, wow.
Sue Clark.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes.
It might have been her. I did my first Ironman in 1994, right?
Yeah.
Then Ewan Baker, I watched 93. And I watched Ewan Baker won that race.
Yeah.
And I watched, that's when I saw, first saw Harlan Smart. No shirt on.
Yeah, we
Toughest try that out there.
Yeah, that's right.
Harlan Smart swam about 1 hour 10. He biked about 4 hours 40.
Yeah.
Ran about 3 hours 5.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. It was something else, eh? Yeah, couldn't swim, eh? He was a duathlete. Yeah, couldn't swim.
Couldn't swim.
But I'll tell you why I say Ewan Baker is tough is this is a true story from the archives. In 1994, the first Weetbix Kids triathlon was getting put together, right? So this must have been in mid-1993 this happened, and she just won the race, right? She was like their ambassador for the whole thing. And Weetbix go, oh, well, we want to put the race on, wait for this, the first weekend of March at St. Helier's, which is just happens to be the Ironman weekend. So Ewan Baker turns around to the organising committee of Ironman, tells them, hey, you guys, fuck off. Tell the Ironman to move. I want to put Weetbix Kids Triathlon on. And she went to the Auckland Council to try to get Ironman shit-canned from St. Helier's so that they could put the Weetbix Kids race on. She eyeballed them, staunched them out, and the Dave Currys of this world, back then it was Dave Curry was the race director, they basically had to staunch out Ewan Baker and say, fuck off, you're going to Point England, we've got Ironman on and we've got it on here and you can move your date. And those are my stories as to why I think Ewan Baker is the toughest person I know in the sport that end. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bravo.
That is pretty good.
That's a good one. That one.
Bravo.
Hey?
Yeah.
So, okay.
Have you met Kathy Lynch?
Oh, should we tell some Kathy Lynch stories?
Oh, my God.
Jesus.
That's round three. We'll make that round three. She was my pick. I told you Kathy Lynch, hey?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
She spoke at the secondary school's triathlon one year, and we all learned some new words that night.
Fuck yeah. I know two Kathy Lynch stories, right? Both of them to do. So Kathy Lynch, if you didn't know, did she do Ironman? I don't think she did.
No, she was just mountain biker. She probably did some road racing.
She was an adventure racer.
Yeah.
That was the Kathy Lynch I knew. So back in the day when Nathan Farvai and Steve Gurney's of this world, like we just dominated the whole 7-day adventure racing scene. The teams are 3 men and a woman, right? So you're only as tough as the weakest person in your team. And physiologically, it normally is the woman that's the weakest. Not a team that's got fucking Kathy Lynch in it. It's not. these are the stories I've heard about, right? That you don't hear. They're like, there was this, you know, all of a sudden they're all doing this like night section. She just grabs a bottle out in anticipation, walks along, shits herself, and just gets a bottle, just washes herself down, just keeps walking, right? and at one of these breaks they had, one of the guys couldn't get up. So she just grabs him by the scruff of his neck and goes, you're gonna fucking get up. All right. I'm gonna fucking tell you right fucking now, you're gonna get up. And this guy just had to get up because he was scared Kathy Lynch was gonna beat him up because it was obviously by then the weakest link in the team. So these are the Kathy Lynch stories that I'd heard.
Yeah.
That is why, for me, if you want to talk about just the sheer incredible, oh my God, what can I say? But I'm in awe of Kathy Lynch even now. I'm glad you mentioned the name.
Yeah.
If you've got any other story, Kathy Lynch stories, you're welcome to add them.
just the secondary school's nationals that we all just got blown away with the words that came out of her mouth. And our parents and our parents were aghast as to what we were learning that night.
Oh, God. I hold a special place in my heart for Kathy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just unbelievable. There was another woman around that sort of space. I can't remember her name, though. I think she might have won Iron Man. Can you guys think of who I'm talking about? New Zealander. I think she did a bit of adventure racing as well. Might have won Iron Man in 94, 95. Any ideas of the name? Can't think about it. Sorry, I'll just move on. Mm-hmm. Matt, have you got anyone you want to add into? What round are we up to, boys?
I know there's going to be people out there that are going to jump up and down and say, oh, bloody, what about Iron Cowboy? What about, like, fuck? Yeah, okay, there's some honourable mentions, but, like, let's be real, okay? I mean, yeah, the dude's tough, but, like, it doesn't even fall into the same category as what we're talking about. So anyone that wants to jump down our throat about people like our Iron Cowboy, fuck off.
I don't like it.
Yeah, so to be clear, I'll provide a postal address at the end of the podcast. And if there are any complaints, you write them on a $100 note and address them to my wife. Yep. And she'll look after you. She'll look after you.
Send
complaints,
it in.
Okay. Send it in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Send it in. Have you got an Iron Man? I've named Aaron Baker. Anyone that you think that is at that Iron Man level? You said Hellriegel. Rob, who did you say?
Yeah,
I said Mecca.
Said Mecca. Uber, over to you. What are your thoughts on what the boys have said?
Oh, shit. Yeah, I think Mecca, at times, I think he was really tough at times, you know. But Hellriegel did come across, he wasn't the greatest swimmer. He always biked through, he had no wheels to sit on, did he?
Nah, no, never.
Maybe it was about a 52-minute swimmer from what I think.
Yeah.
But... yeah, he always biked through. He didn't seem to want anyone with him, did he? I think Mecca was, when he was on, he was quite strong.
Yeah. What I liked about Mecca is when he wanted to win the world champs, he talked guys around him into being his, without them knowing, into being his workhorses. Like, he convinced Mariano van Honecker that the way he should win, should try and win Ironman, was to ride off the front, and Mecca went with him and then ran away from him. Like, he talked guys into how he could win the race. Like, he just didn't go and try to win himself. He used people around him, which I thought was real crafty.
Oh, maybe. I didn't know that.
Yeah, like, I remember the year before, because I was there the year came second when Norm Sadler won. That was my first year at Kona. And I remember him reporting after that race saying, the only way I could win this race is by going off the front of the bike. You know, we've got to beat the runners in the sport, Crowe and those guys. And Mecca won the year before I did it. Crowe won the first year I was there. And Mecca said that the only way that I could win this race is by... And Mecca won the first year I did it. Fuck, I can't remember. But
Alzheimer's.
Yeah, the only way that he could beat Crowe was by talking some cyclists into going off the front with him and putting Crowe on the back foot, which is exactly what he did. And he went and did it, ran away with it, and won his world title. And it's like, yeah, you know, he was a smart athlete.
I'll tell you one name we haven't mentioned. Tim Don. Not Tim Don. Who was the guy that, that robbed Brownie from the podium at...
Ferris.
No, there's other the American. Turned up one of our men New Zealand.
Tim DeBoom.
Pass the kidney stone. Yeah. I don't like him. I just sort of mention his name and say, I don't like him.
Yeah, I don't like him either, actually.
You know, I just don't like him. I just don't. I think because he took, I just don't like him. I've got my reasons for not liking him. I'm just going to say I don't like him. But I thought I'd bring him up only because I think that he robbed Brownie. There you go. Okay. We have butchered this one fucking, could have been the world's best podcast.
It was going to be good.
It is not what I expected. The names that have
started
come up
with Rob,
Mark fucking Little.
I retake
Mark
this
spot. Little.
No, I still stand by that. You tell him.
Okay,
tell
him. I will. Oh my God! Fuck now, Jesus. Okay, but come on, other names. It's just a free round now. Free round. Any other name that you want to spit out? Spit it out.
Yes. Hang on. Just trying to remember.
Great name, Rob. Yeah, know them well. Bike painter, you got me.
I had it. He always used to lean out of the water, always just lean off the bike. Big German guy. Not Dirk Ashvernight.
Jürgen?
No. Leave it with me. I'll come back to that one.
Okay, bike painter, you got me.
Are we still talking Ironman or
anything,
just overall?
Anything, free round.
I'll tell you what, Simon Lessing for me was quite an athlete.
Oh, and athlete. We're talking tough. He was a sweetie. He was a fucking sweetie.
He wasn't that sweet. He wasn't that sweet. I could tell you a story about an after race party in Noumea.
Well, tell us. Come on.
When we were in the fucking hotel, and he managed to convince two bloody birds to go back up to the room.
Oh, God bless him. God bless him.
And then he turns to us. We're sitting in a group, and he goes, "Does anybody else want to come up?"
Did you go? Did you jump?
I was young and innocent at the time. I was way too young and innocent at the time to do anything about it. I was like, but fuck me. I was like, Jesus.
You've never lived till you've had a reach around, bike painter.
I know, right? Yeah. I know. I can tell you a funny story about the new Mia as well. Okay, so what was that Aussie bird?
Gallagher.
Yeah, Jackie. Yeah. Okay. So there's me and Megan Dalton. We're rooming together.
She's a listener.
She's listening to this.
You don't know. I'm not going to hear the end of this. You better get the story exactly right. We're going to get fucking slaughtered.
So we decide that we're going to go from where we're staying in Noumea, and we want to catch the bus into town. So we go to the bus stop, and we're there, and Jackie happens to be there at the same time. And we're like, hi. I mean, she wouldn't have known us from a bar or so, but we knew who she was. But we were under the impression that the bus drivers didn't speak English. They only speak French, because it's French Polynesia, right? So we're like, fuck, we don't know how to get into town. And we wanted to ask the bus driver if it was the right bus to get into town. And so we were talking to Jackie about it. And we said, and she goes, hey, she's like, guys, don't worry about it. I got you. I know how to speak French. And we're like, really? And she's like, yeah, I know how to speak French. I'll, because I'm doing the same thing, and I want to ask the bus driver if it's the bus into town. So the bus finally arrives, and I kid you not, without word of a lie, Jackie goes to the bus driver, "Excuse me, Mister, is this the bus into town?" Oh shit! And like, we almost fell over and died. It was
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Come on, free round. Any other names?
Okay. Yeah, Wolfgang Dietrich. That's the guy.
Wolfie.
Yeah. So he always had a frown on his face. Always lean out of the water. Would always lean off the bike. Never smiled. Tough as anything. And he would always get beaten on the run, of course, because he was a terrible runner. But it was like year in, year out, he was just same guy, same face, same game plan. He was a weapon, eh? He was a great, great swimmer, great biker. He was always cool. I liked him.
1993. No, I can't. I got a great story. I don't know whether it was Wolfgang Dietrich. Who was the Finnish guy who was leading the Hawaiian Ironman in 1993 and blew up?
Porta Kuru.
That's it. Thank you. Round to him, over you, Uber, by the way, nailed it. So this is the Paulie Kuru story I heard, was that he blew, right? He's walking along the Queen K, and Paula Newby Fraser catches up to him and runs up next to him on his shoulder and goes, "Come on, Paulie, run with me. He looked at her and goes, "Don't talk. Just focus." and he was walking.
He was one of the first heart rate monitor athletes. And they reckon that his heart rate monitor cost him a couple of Kona wins because he did exactly that. He just held back too much. He should have just raced.
Yeah, that's right. So that's have we got any other who you rate, Uber? Anyone that you want to mention that we haven't mentioned?
Well, since we're talking about Porta Kuru, the greatest race of all time, Ironman race.
Yeah.
Oh, with Ken Glar at the finish.
Correct.
1990.
Yeah.
Yeah. How close was that?
Yeah.
That was insane.
In a true Wild West triathlon style, they're having to fight their way through the crowd.
Yeah.
It's insane, eh?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Do you reckon he should have been DQ'd for going off course?
Yeah. Georgia Taylor Brown.
Georgia Taylor Brown.
Georgia Taylor Brown.
Georgia Taylor Brown. Yeah. Okay. Uber, have you got any names that you'd like to mention that you think the greatest of all time? Who's your greatest hardest Ironman of all time? Who's your pick? Mine's Aaron Baker. Who's yours?
I think Aaron Baker too.
Well, she just said something about her, eh?
Yeah. She was going to win no matter what.
Yeah, that she just came across that way to me.
It's interesting that no one has mentioned Courtney B. Fraser. Or have we?
Nah, no. I just don't like her.
Yeah, I know, but
I don't like her, Kim. I don't know why that is.
Yeah, and I think I know why. But she did dominate, and whether it was legit or not, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But I mean, there were some pretty dominant performances there. She only did well at one race.
Yeah.
Whereas Erin, I know she would do pretty well. I'm in Japan, I'm in Canada, I'm in New Zealand.
And Rolf Unders, Zoffingen.
Zoffingen.
Yeah.
And she just did everything, eh?
Yeah, she's my number one. Mm. The other thing that for me, when I was reading through the comment section, and I'm agreeing again with Dave Bowden, he says that if you wanted to look for the toughest, you're generally looking towards the female triathletes.
Yeah.
And I think that's if I was to look at the theme of it, the Emma Carneys and the Erin Bakers of this world, they just had this aura of toughness.
Mm.
I suppose it's the aura. Okay, guys, let's all get together. But I'm talking about the aura, you know, the aura.
Yeah.
I lost you there, eh? That was a shit joke. That was a fucking crapper.
No, that was
a terrible joke. Fucking hell.
We're losing as good as Rob's joke.
Because do you know what, boys? Hey, I'm so proud of you. You guys have stayed up past 10 o'clock.
Yeah, and I've got more news.
Well, go.
Have you heard about the new rules for the World Triathlon?
No.
No.
2022. World Triathlon rules, some of them are changing. The biggest ones that are most important for me, mixed relay format, man, woman, man, woman.
Wow.
It's changed.
Wow. Do you know, they had to do that, right?
Yeah.
They had to fucking do that. You can't lead with a woman. Yeah. No disrespect, right? Mm-hmm. You lead with a woman, if they've got a weak woman, fucks the whole team up. Am I being mean? Is that
how
I see that?
No. Am I
being sexist?
No, and I think a lot of teams are going to start being really dominant now. It's really going to start showing through. The French are just going to be all over this.
Oh my God! Because New Zealand would have had a different. Would you then lead with Hayden or would you lead with Gizzy Boy?
Oh man, shit! What would you do? You'd have to lead with Taylor.
You'd have to lead with Taylor.
You have to lead with that swimmer. Yeah.
You'd have to, eh?
And who would you close with? Nicole's probably the better runner.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Although, okay, Uber, who's your mixed relay team for Manchester?
Number one pick, James Corbett.
I knew he'd say this.
Oh, Corbo!
I knew he'd say this. I knew he'd
Corbo!
Say it. Straight away. Yes. I knew he'd say it. I knew he'd say it. Get it over with.
20 years old, and look how good he is.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So
20 years old, he can do that. If we can run a 4.7 mile, is totally insane.
Yeah, with cycling legs.
Okay, so
what's even more incredible about that boy at the moment, his improvement rate is huge. Mm. Most people, they get to 16, 17, and they stabilize, you know. He goes minute per 3K every year faster.
So, can I have a crack at you there, dairy farmer? I heard one of my whispers I heard was that this week he was running 400s with Sam Tanner and Hayden Wild and popped in the last five. But admittedly, when he popped, Sam Tanner and Hayden Wild were running 58 second 400 meters. Which if I do,
well, so
do you think he's entitled to pop at as a 20-year-old trying to run 58-second 400s? Because if my maths is shit, but that's 3:52 mile pace.
Amazing. That's incredible.
That was the pace of those last 400s they were running when Turbo Corbo popped. Uber, is he? Why did he pop? Because not good enough?
No, definitely not. The reason he popped, because he's 20 years old and probably hasn't got endurance.
Just hasn't got endurance, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Another year or two, he won't be popping.
He won't be popping anymore.
No way.
Yeah.
My pick is he's going to beat Hayden Wallen. I wouldn't be surprised if he beat him this year and over Europe.
Mm.
Wow.
I think within 2 years, he's going to beat him.
2 years. That's wasn't that a point? Okay. So would you put Uber? Would you have Gizzy Boy or so? Who's your second male? Obviously, well, Hayden Wild. Obviously. Ooh.
Hang on.
Gizzy Boy's
pretty good. Gizzy
Boy is consistent. You can't 17th in the Olympics. I mean, you name it, he's.
So you're just saying for the mixed relay team that you would drop Hayden Wild for Gizzy Boy?
No. Right. Yeah, I like Gizzy Boy, but I have to go for Corbett. Corbett and Hayden Wild.
Wow.
Gizzy Boy, he is pretty good. I mean, jeepers.
I think there's a home for Gizzy Boy in the team if they have three guys selected, right? Mm. But the good news is, and it's fantastic news, is that I will wait to get the official press release and everything's official, but there are 100% three selection sprint races planned for February, March to help select the team for Manchester.
Great.
So Turbo Corbo gets to race Gizzy Boy. So we'll have a salute. We will be covering. We might even embed a reporter at each of these races. I really want to make a big deal about these races to support the athletes that are doing it.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm clearing my throat. I hope. And support that Try and Z are trying to sort out a pretty fucking shitty situation. They are got to give credit where credit's due. They're trying to not be Australia over the selection process for the Comm Games. They're treating it seriously. So kudos to Try and Z. You know, I kick high performance all the time, but I will give them 100% kudos that's what they're doing. So we're going to get to see whether, Uber's right or wrong, and will Corbo beat Hayden? Okay, boys, will Turbo Corbo beat Hayden Wild at any of these three races? Yes or no?
No.
He can do it. I know how.
Yeah.
All right, Gizzy Boy can beat him too. All they have to do is take the Alistair Brownlee approach. Get in there, get in the water, get up, get them packed together, four or five guys, and lap it out as hard as you can go. So therefore, Hayden Wild can't get on. Simple as that.
But Hayden can get on any bike group in a World Cup race.
If they absolutely go out there, if they get together and they absolutely nail the first 5K, he burn his legs.
I can't wait to see this race. This is going to be awesome.
But to be fair, if they take
the Alistair Brownlee approach, get four, there'll be four guys who will beat, obviously, Hayden Wallace of the water, right, in New Zealand, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, only beat him by 15 seconds, say. Let's give him a 15-second gap. Now, they've absolutely got to nail it. Lap it. How does that can go?
What cyclists of those elites do you think can do that?
As long as they're putting 100% effort per pull, if they do that, they might stay away. If they ease off the throttle, they won't stay away.
For a millisecond, I just don't think that. Yeah, you're right. It is a scenario. It absolutely is a scenario.
Treat that like a 4,000 pursuit on the track. Just lap as hard as you can go. The only way you can beat Hayden Wild.
They do need to not respect him.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. He, yes. Yeah.
We you know what?
Weakness is a swim.
Yeah, fair enough. Compared to the boys that we're talking about, right?
Yes.
They are we do breed incredible fish.
So here's another rule that might affect this. If you're talking about drilling it on the bike and trying to chase a bike group down,
yeah,
they've banned clip-on aerobars.
Wow.
Starting 2023, so not this year, but the year after, no more clip-on aerobars. Which, if that, you know, Uber, you know how much that affects aerodynamics. It's a huge amount. You know, you take an aerobar off.
Is that because they the current breed of aero little clip-ons that they've got, they're taking the piss with them? Do you know that
I think it's just a safety thing. Like, I don't know. I mean, not many people use them anyway, unless to the front. But
you're dead right. I think there's only I mean, roadies would beat the shit out of you if you were riding. I take that back. I'm wrong. Yeah, because you see guys in the breakaways riding in that same position.
That is banned now.
Is it banned, is it?
Yeah. So the thing is, at Tokyo, the aero position that Norwegians adopted was pretty freaking extreme. Like, their hands were miles away from their brake levers, which is why they probably one of the reasons that they stopped that position. Because they had quite a ramped up aero bar position.
Yeah.
And with the sort of a fairing effect with that new aero bar design, so might have looked at that and gone, it's just taking it one step too far. Let's just ban them all.
Do you think that new Ironman bike position could be outlawed? The same thing. Do you think that the aero bar position of an Ironman is too far away from their brakes?
I think it's safer than the TT position that UCI riders are adopting now, where they're forced to basically look down at their stem.
Yeah.
To try and get aero. Whereas if they're allowed to have their hands up above their face, like Ironman athletes can do, then they're probably a lot safer. Because that position, that Ironman athletes adopt, that's not that bad because they can still see you straight ahead. Whereas the TT riders, they can't see straight ahead. That's why Burnell crashed. That's why they crash on the track, because all they do is looking at the handlebars. They can't look ahead of them.
Are they really that blind?
Yeah. You talk to the pursuit riders, and all they can see is their stem, and they know that they've got a routine that they have to stick to, and they can't see the guy in front of them. If they lift their head up, they compromise their aerodynamics, so they've got to keep their head down.
Wow.
And you just see the head. That's why Gady crashed, is because there was just a small lapse in concentration. That's why the Danish guys rode up the back of each other. That's why the British girls had that crash. I mean, it was all happening in the Tokyo Olympics with the aero positions. It was crazy.
Right.
So that's going to start changing.
Okay. So we've lost the little clip-on bars. They're changing the format. They've tweaked the format of the
relay.
Mixed relay. What relay, else? Mixed anything relay. Else, Rob?
That's pretty much it. It's
still good to know that we are a triathlon magazine and a podcast.
Yeah, Arena Games, they're bringing that in, which I don't really like. I don't really agree with Arena Games. So indoor.
Arena Games.
Yeah, oh, Arena Games.
Indoor, but yeah, I don't really think that's not great for UCI.
We are never going to cover the fucking that bullshit.
Not right now. No, it's too subjective.
Yeah, well, give me one compelling reason why that makes for good sport.
I can't. It's great for age groupers, not great for elite racing.
I don't know. Content creators, whoopty fucking do. Anything else, boys? We're starting to, you guys are 20 past 10 at night.
I know. Speaking of indoor racing, I had a Zwift race in 8 hours. Holy shit.
My God. Yeah. What's on the training schedule tomorrow, bike painter?
I've got to go to the pool tomorrow. Go for a swim.
Oh, nice.
Oh, is that what you're doing? I love it. Interesting.
Friday swim day. Friday swim day.
Hey, boys, if it's open.
I've got some really good news. Saturday, I'm putting on an X race for about 800 people and in Devonport for probably over 1,000.
Fantastic.
We're still about 40% down on where we should be, but I'll take it. I'm getting two races away. Fuck you. I'm getting two races away.
That's awesome.
And hopefully, I've only got another 12 after that to get away. That is good news. Is there anything else to cover off?
No, I got heaps wrong tonight. That's great.
Yeah, that stoked. Was fucking I'm real that, stoked. Look, I've got to say it, right? you are up. You had your Blenheim moment tonight.
Yeah, probably did.
Actually. Yeah,
you did, eh?
Oh, I've Little. Got a story.
Mark Little.
I have got a story.
Oh, go.
I just remembered. And it's real short and it's not very interesting, but you guys may or may not have heard about it, but there were a bunch of guys, they did a secret half Ironman.
Ooh, no, I didn't know about
that. They did a secret half Ironman right before the Auckland Marathon and half marathon. They swam at 2 o'clock in the morning at Cheltenham.
Oh, fuck off.
Jesus.
they then got on the bike.
Was it Australia? Did,
yeah. Because okay. I sold the guy a pair of shoes. Okay. And then they got on their bike and they rode up past Takapuna Grama out and they did laps of Lake Pupuki. You remember the old Christmas cracker course?
Oh, man. God.
Snowfish.
What time of the morning was this at? Must be 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, and they did laps of that and they timed it so that when they got off the bike, they had about, I think they had about 15 or 20 minutes to spare before the half marathon started.
Well,
and then they went. They did the half marathon.
Standing. just when you think that a triathlete couldn't get any more fucking madder than they are already, right?
2 o'clock in the morning he started.
They're like, what is the fucking, you know, I mean, triathletes just do fucking dumb shit, right? I mean, and then you hear this and you go to yourself, good on you, mate. Yeah, no. Why did I think of that? What a fucking great idea that was.
And there was like five of them that did it. And they had a guy in a kayak with a flashing light follow, like do the swim course for them.
Oh, I love it.
On the bike with lights. But can you imagine going around Lake Pupuki? Like how many times would you have to go around that to get 90K?
Oh my God. Oh, hey, so bike painter, you got a job to do. You've got to break the privacy laws where you're working at. Stalk the guy that did it, and let's get him on.
Get him on the podcast. And
I've got to tell him I've got the opening line. What the fuck were you thinking?
How cool is that? What a story, eh?
Yeah. So one last thing, guys.
Yeah.
There is one triathlete racing in the Elite Road Nationals this weekend.
Oh, good work, Rob. Who is it?
One triathlete, and he's racing in the TT. He's not racing in the road race. I'll give you one name each. Who is it?
Mike Phillips.
Mike Painter, what's yours?
Braden Curry.
Uber?
I'm going for Mike Phillips too.
Sam Clark.
Wow.
He's
Sammy doesn't do Iron Man.
He does. He's done your race.
Well, he can't be doing it this weekend. You've got to be wrong. It's coast this weekend.
He's not doing coast.
He's not doing coast.
He's on the start list for the elite. And he messaged me tonight and asked if I had some overshoes he could use. And I'm not down in Cambridge until Sunday, so I can't do them until.
Hey, have you looked at the weather forecast for nationals?
Oh, it's terrible.
It's going to be shithouse.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And they're running a B course for the coast, which is not good either.
Yeah. Oh, they are running.
Yeah, because of the river.
It's going to be too high. The river will be too dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
So the B race gets the B course. Oh, those poor fucking bastards.
Yeah.
Hey, who cares? They're getting a race away.
They're getting a race away, you know? Exactly.
Oh, wow. Hey, so who's quickly, who is the favourite to win the national road champs elite?
The smart money would be on George Bennett. But
so Bennett's still here.
Bennett's still here. Off. No, and Michael Vink.
Wow.
Michael Vink's got them.
But does George Bennett like racing in the rain, in the cold?
No, he probably doesn't. Vink does. Vink is a beast in any weather. And Vink's got half the fielder in his team. So I think Vink's probably hot favourite for that. Although my boy Ben Oliver, he was second the Crick Nationals. He's a mountain bike, road bike extraordinaire. He does everything. So I know
we're too lazy to check. Rob, is it on Sky Sport next?
It is. The last lap.
And does that mean we're going to get to hear what
he... Go, baby!
Nelson, represent!
I mean, Nelson, be proud!
Nelson, be proud!
I don't know.
Please. It's not the same without Waddy calling anything.
We fucking
love a Waddy fucking call. Nothing beats a Waddy call. You know, there's nothing in the world that beats it. I love it. He is the Phil Liggett of New Zealand cycling.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Murray Walker.
He's a Murray Walker there, Phil Liggett. Absolutely. So that's good reminder.
Rob, you there?
Yeah, mate.
I tell you what, I watched the the Tour of Southland.
Yeah.
And Michael Vink. I'm pretty sure it was the Tour of Southland. Michael Vink did that time trial. It was like 10K time trial.
Yes, yeah, first stage.
That was totally insane.
That was into a headwind, eh? Just block headwind, and he just rode away.
That was one of the most incredible things I've seen, because he was at that Logan Curry was like a junior, like 11th in the world, time trial. He put a minute into him.
Yeah.
I thought, why isn't that guy given a Jumbo Visma?
Well, Vink's now got a black spoke contract. So he's now with that team, which will go out to Europe. And so he might actually now start getting looked at by those teams. Yes.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Why isn't that guy? He should be. Oh, mate, he's that good.
That solidified his win that opening stage. He was amazing. He was all over it.
I mean, yeah, because that was about 2 weeks after World Champs, and well, that Logan Curry was pretty good. Two weeks earlier at the World Champs. I mean, he was only a minute down on the World Junior title.
But I mean, he was the last man standing of the Kiwis in that race, so it was amazing. Yeah. So Elite Nationals will be interesting to watch, because it's a lot riding on this one, because they always want a New Zealand jersey in the Pro Tour, and George Bennett or Shane Archibald are the only World Tour riders in it. But Vink's not going to want to let it go. So,
Oh, wow. Oh, that's good. So I won't ask. Hey, Uber, so did you get your gearing right on Bluff Hill when you did the Tour of Southland?
Well, I got told it was steep. Yeah, right. I didn't believe them. I thought, no way can it be steep. From Auckland, you know? Nothing steep. Nothing really steep. I went over there. No, serious. I had a – back then, I did 2002, and I had like 42-23.
Yeah.
And I went up it. And
no.
And I wasn't last. The trouble is, they were attacking. I'll never forget that. I was above myself. I was going above myself. I finished the Tour of Southland. It was the hardest week of my life.
Yeah.
And I was in laughing bunch every day. I got to the base hall, and it was the whole peloton was still, you know, in the group stall. Went up the hill, I thought, yeah, whatever. This is not too bad. And that last corner, there's that corner to go. Just that last corner.
Yeah.
Everybody started up off the bikes. everybody back then had like a 39-27. I had a 42-23. This was hard, you know?
Oh, shit.
I wish I had a heart rate monitor on. So I'm going to go top of the hill. I never, ever felt my heart beat so much.
Respect.
Oh, God. I recall watching an Ironman, talking heart rate monitor stories. I recall we were all watching Ironman. It might have been 2002 or 2003. And we're on the hill, you know, the hill that goes up to the Napier Hill.
Mm.
And to be fair, my wife was with me, and Dairy Farmer got a bit excited. And as everyone was sort of climbing up there, he'd just be yelling at them and pointing his finger going, heart rate, heart rate, heart rate, heart rate, heart rate, heart rate. To every single fucking cyclist, right? And this is no shit. I kid you not. This is the God's fucking truth. My wife walked up to the Dairy Farmer, grabbed him by the scruff of his fucking neck and dragged him off the road and made him shut the fuck up. That is a true story as well about heart rate. Remember that one, Uber?
I love it.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, no answer.
Boys, I'm going to go. I've got a serious race in the morning.
Yeah, like Cher, we've drifted off. I like podcasts that fucking just meander nowhere. Anyway, thank you. It's been great. We could be a couple of weeks before the next podcast. I'm hoping that we can get some official shit. I want to do some quality build up on these Try NZ selection races.
Yeah.
And try and also try and help our nine listeners get to know who our juniors are and the up and comers are that are going to have a crack at the Olympic teams. Well, yeah. Good boys. Yeah. Take care. Yeah. Good stuff. Like, share, subscribe, and right. Cue the music.
Cheers.
Cue the music.
Cue the music. Cue the music. Good work, boys. Thank you, Uber.
Sweet.
Thank you, Uber. I'm going to hit Ian now, so I just close the meeting, Uber, and that's it. You just go to bed.
Yeah.
Okay. You see, bye.
Yeah,
bye.
Oh, Rob, Rob, you there?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yep.
Yeah. You know, one thing you got to do.
Yeah.
You got to look. If you what a great podcast. You go back because you were talking about before about what's his name, buddy, Meg Mecca.
Yeah.
You got to look up this podcast from Australia. It's called How They Train.
Oh yeah, I want to listen to that. Yeah, yes. I need to listen
and
to that.
Mecca's on there, and he talked about that. That we, oh, I mean, he did. He waited for the other guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He mentioned that.
Oh, sweet! I need to go listen to that. It was a great race.
He did that deliberately.
Yeah.
To mind kill him, you know.
Yeah.
That's what he did. Yes. He talked about that race.
Oh, sweet! I have to listen to that.
So, okay. Boys, trust me. In a conversation with Uber, you just hang up.
Yeah.
now that podcast, that guy is pretty good. He goes for Steve Montaghetti is quite a good one too.
Oh yeah, I'll listen to that one. I know Mono, he's good dude.
Shall I hit Ian?
Okay,
later. Oh, shit. Okay.